The following is a presentation of the IPSE SDA Media Network.
Issues are going to happen in our lives. Now we wonder why, what's going on? Here's the interesting thing. It's not about the process, but how you respond to the process is what matters. God doesn't care about your issues. He sent them your way. All he cares about is how you handle those issues. See, the issue is not about our trials. God is concerned about us. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today. You know, the Bible says that, well, I should say my favorite Bible text is Philippians 4:6, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, lay thy cares at his feet." That's what the Bible says. Are there anybody in here that's anxious? Do we get nervous? Do we get tired of situations sometimes? The title of my brief message today is When Things Go Wrong. When things go wrong. Please bow your heads. Father in heaven, thank you so much for just the opportunity of coming out and presenting this brief word to your children today. I pray that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let it not be me, but you talking through me that will lift us up and give us encouragement in this day. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen. Amen. We've all been there. We've all had situations happen to us where we were backed against a wall. We've all been in situations where all of our senses were saturated. All of our resources were dried up. What do? Have you ever been there? I remember my wife and I, when we made the fateful decision to decide to move up here to Michigan from Ohio. Now, I hadn't bought a house in 16 years, so I'm thinking this is, you know, it was like it was back then. Very simple transaction. Unfortunately, things didn't exactly work out that way. I remember when we were about a week away from putting our house up on the market, my air conditioner went out. Now I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Now I'm trying to save up money because everybody kept warning me, your down payment's gonna be much higher than it was back in the day, so you're gonna have to save as much as you can. Not a problem, prayed about it, took care of that. The next day, my garage door opened and stopped working. I came home and pressing the button, I'm like, somebody playing a joke on me? Had to get that done. Got the house on the market, things were moving along fine. Finally, we finally get a mortgage. I go apply for the mortgage, we get approved. God is good, things are moving forward. Not less than a week later, I get this letter in the mail. Oh, by the way, we're celebrating you getting your mortgage. There's some bills that you haven't paid yet. And so we clumping them all together and we want you to pay them now. No, all this time, why didn't you tell me, why now? So we, you know, do what I have to do. So I said, fine, we took care of the bills. That was all, you know, all fine, we were happy. I was sitting in front of my computer screen and I get this email and it says that there's been a change on your credit report, that there's now been a public record posted. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I haven't applied for any credit. You know that when you're going through the mortgage process, you can't apply for anything. You can't do nothing but wait until you close. Well, come to find out, them jokers that I was paying faithfully to decided to do a default judgment and sue me. And it popped up my credit report. Not less than 10 minutes later, I get a phone call from the mortgage company. Hey, Mark, guess what? There's something on your credit. I know. Talk to my attorney, and he tells me, listen, what do I do? He tells me, listen, you pay it. Okay, I didn't have to pay you to tell me that. Okay, fine. We took care of that. Fine, we finally got it done. Okay, now we're moving forward. The funny thing is, the people we were going to buy the house from, they asked us to push the time for us to close for that 2 weeks. So if I had closed 2 weeks prior, it wouldn't have mattered. But everything happens for a reason. So we finally get to closing. All this mess had been going on. We're sitting there. We saw all our papers. And then the guy says, Mark, there's a problem. I'm like, what's the problem? Well, they lost your paperwork. What do you mean you lost my paperwork? I sent it months ago. So I'm sitting there in the title office resending emails that I sent months ago, trying to figure out what's going on. you reach a point. It's almost like I couldn't think anymore, so I just started thinking of an old song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Because at that particular point, it was time for me. I just said, okay, I'm just do what I have to do. Now, I have to say my poor wife wasn't exactly as patient through the process as I was. But things happened. So we finally got that taken care of. Now, we were to close at 3 o'clock. Now, here it is now 5 o'clock. We finally got all the paperwork lined up. We finally are ready to move forward with everything. And then a guy comes back and tells me, you're not going to believe this. No, what now? It's after 5 and everybody went home for the day. What? This is a business. What do you mean they have? No one's on call. Well, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself. So basically our closing was delayed and I had to come back the next day. We finally got everything taken care of, and praise the Lord, we're here in Michigan. But let me tell you something. When I was going through this process, I asked the Lord, why in the world all this stuff happened? I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was living my life in accordance to your will. I thought that you were going to bless me. But then the Lord said to me, mortal, one who I cleansed, the one who I made in my image, young man, let me explain something to you. And it was very clear. He says, as long as we live on this earth, trouble will find us. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I don't get it. Trouble, which is derived from the word tadasso, from the Greek, to agitate, inward commotion, to stir up, to render anxious or distressed. Issues are going to happen in our lives. Now we wonder why, what's going on? Here's the interesting thing. It's not about the process, but how you respond to the process is what matters. God doesn't care about your issues. He sent them your way. All he cares about is how you handle those issues. Now, the Testimonies to the Church, Volume 7 says, God sends trials to prove who will stand faithful under temptation. He brings all into trying positions to see if they will trust in a power out and above themselves. Everyone has undiscovered traits of character that must come to light. Through trial, God allows those who are self-sufficient to be sorely tempted that they may understand their helplessness. See, the issue is not about our trials. God is concerned about us. Now, let's go to our memory verse, found in 1 Samuel 27, which was so eloquently read. And it starts off in verse 1, and David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape in the land of the Philistines. And Saul would despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. Then David arose and went over with 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. So we know the story. This is the same David who killed the bear and the lion. Right? This is the same David who slew the champion of the Philistines, the mountain of a man, Goliath. This is the same David that God put his hand of mercy and anointing on. This is the same David that was having issues in the house. And he said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm leaving. And not only did he leave, he took his whole family with him and his boys. 600 men accompanied him, and he left. And it says, and it was said, told Saul, that David fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Now, object lesson number one. David was a man who was anointed and blessed. Am I correct? Amen. Object lesson number one. Many times, if you're blessed, there's people that ain't gonna like you. There are going to be some times where the Lord will pour his blessings out on you, and everything seems to be going right. Everything seems to turn gold that you touch. Somebody's watching you, and they ain't going to like you. It ain't nothing you said. It ain't nothing you've done. It ain't the way you smell. They just don't like you. We need to understand that. Now, we also need to understand that we usually run out of church not by doctrine, but because of relationships. Usually when we leave the church, rarely is it, well, I don't understand that principle. It just confuses me. I'm not going back there anymore. No, it's people. People irritate people, so we run out to church. That's what happens. Information without relationship is nothing more than intimidation. The biggest communication problem we have is that we do not listen to understand, We listen to reply. That's what happens in the church. You can't speak into my life if you don't know me. Too many times we pull people aside. I just want to give you a piece of my mind. Well, I don't know you. I don't want any peace. And that's sometimes we have to understand. Build relation. We're relational creatures. Build a relationship, then I can have a rapport. But until then, step. No, I'm just kidding. Now, where are some of the other conflicts that may arise? Matthew 7:21 says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. See, we have to understand that everybody in church ain't Christians. There's a lot of folk here, and that they should be here, because hopefully, in time, the Holy Spirit will soften your heart and you become a Christian. But there's some people who are just here to be rebel risers. It's just the way it is. Anyone who thinks that sitting in a church can make you a Christian must also think that sitting in a garage can make you a car. The fact that you're here doesn't mean that he is in you. Oops. And also we see that where God built a church, there the devil would also build a chapel. So we know that the devil is also in church with us. He comes here. So my point here is, don't look at people to assess a church. God's in charge of church. People have issues. You go to the hospital, do I expect well people be laying all up in their beds? No, they sick. That's why they're there. That's why we up in church too. Don't let that be a stumbling block for you coming up in here. When you go away in sin, you do not go by yourself. People are watching you. Many times we're like, you know, I'm just going to fold up my, I'm out of here. I'm tired of the way they talk to me. I'm tired I didn't get that position. I'm tired I'm being disrespected. I'm leaving. And they leave. But here's the thing. When you leave, somebody's watching you. You're influencing somebody. The funny thing is that we have no idea who we influence when people are watching us. The Holy Spirit makes numerous instances of this where she talks about how, you know, we're silent witnesses, where there's some people that are watching our life. They're watching everything you do, and you have no idea who they are. And they can be, there's some people that actually make it into heaven because of you. Somebody's going to step up to you and say, it is because of your life why I'm here, and you never knew. The devil loves isolation. The thing about it is that the devil has a way of making us feel that whatever issues we're dealing with, we invent it. Nobody in the world has ever dealt with what you're dealing with but you. But if we don't come to church and we aren't around other believers, we don't have that perspective. We isolate ourselves, and he's able to whisper our ear, you it. That's all on you. See this? Nobody else is dealing with this but you. But that's not, the devil's a liar. We are drawn away from the only source that can change our situation. And this is where the world struggles, because they use vices, cigarettes and smoking and weed and alcohol and drugs and even suicide. They can't change their situation. All they can do is numb it, anesthetize themselves to the situation. God can change your situation. So now, 1 Samuel 28, chapter 1. Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together in war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, you assuredly know that you will go out to battle with me, you and your men. Now, what happened here? David left Israel. He left the church. He said, enough with Saul and his clowning. I'm out of here. He left. Now, not only did he leave, he went to the enemy. He's getting a little bit, he's playing footsies with the enemy. He's like, look, I'm going to make a living here. I'm cool. I'm going out. He's been going out on raids. He's been doing all what the Philistines do. And in fact, he even said that. So David said to Achish, surely you know what your servant can do. See, he's bragging now. Look, my reputation precedes me. I'm the man. You saw what I can do. He says, and Achish said to David, therefore, I will make you one of my chief guardians forever. He's playing him up. This is what I can do. But check this out. It says, then the Philistines gathered together all their armies of Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by the fountain, which is in Jezreel. and the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands. But here's this. This is what's interesting. When you're talking about, for those who are veterans or who've been in the military, before you go to war, there's an inspection that has to go on. They have to make sure all your stuff is right. You have all the right equipment, all your guns, everything is working properly. You have to prepare for battle. Unlike, this is all about pre-preparation. Now, what's interesting here is that this battle now was a turning point for David because they were making war with who? Israel, his people. So now he knows that something about this is a little bit weird, but I'm going to try to play my thing. Now, interesting, look at this last part of the verse. It said, but David and his men passed in review in the rear with Achish. They were trying to slide by. You know how you sometimes, I try not to be noticed. Either you put a disguise on or you got your head. Maybe they won't see me. That's what he tried to do. But look what happened in verse 4. Then the princes of Philistine said, what are these Hebrews doing here? They got spotted out. See, object lesson again. When you leave the church and go out into the world, many times you still stand out. You may not think you do. I remember when I was down at Oakwood, and yes, that happened even back in that day. I had a friend that was telling me that they always knew when Oakwoodites showed up in them clubs. You know, there was a lot of times students would sneak out on Friday night, go to the clubs, and hang out on Friday nights before they go to church Saturday morning. Anyway, everybody up in there know who the Christians are. Oh, those are Oakwoodites right there, right there, right there, right there. We the ones that do the most cussing, drinking, smoking. Look at Peter. Wait a minute, Peter, aren't you one of those disciples? Well, me? Blank, 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 blank. Not me. No, you are. You were with them, not me. We the ones that act the most fool out there. They be like, what's up with him? Well, he used to be a Christian. But that's how we are. So they got spotted out. And you see that it says, and Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel? So not only did they know him, they knew his background. They knew everything about him. Now, this is what's really interesting. It says, but the princes of the Philistines were angry with him, and the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return that he may go back to a place where you, talking about Achish, set aside for him. Basically, now this is, think about this. David left, he left his home and he left the church. Now he was trying to hang out with the Philistines, the enemies. And they were kicking him to the curb. They're like, you can't stay with us. You got to get out of here. You got to go where you came from. He's like, can a brother get any slack around here? I just left the church and I left my home and now you guys are telling me, what's happening? And it's interesting because they knew exactly who he was. Look at here, the last part of the verse. It says, is this not David with whom they sang, Saul has slain thousands, but he has slain 10,000. His reputation had even preceded him. And the generals didn't want him there. And basically they told him, you got to go. And so the next morning, he and his men, his merry men, after he tried to fight, he tried to persuade Achish to let him stay. Achish basically told him, look, there'll be a mutiny up in here. You got to go. So David and his men, they went home the next morning. Now, what's interesting here is that it wasn't done yet. If you look at chapter 30, verse 1, it says, now what happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. So David and his men waited till the next morning. They were on their way home. And as they were getting up the hill, if you can imagine, it's your sanctified imagination, they start smelling something. What's that? Somebody having a barbecue? No, it ain't a barbecue. That sounds like something on fire. What? They got closer, and they found out that the city of Ziklag, where all their family was burning. Nothing left. It says here that on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. They took Ziklag and burned it down with fire. And they had taken the captives of the women and those who were with them there from small and great. And they did not kill them, but they carried them away and they went their way. So they were abducted. His whole family was abducted. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him fled or lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. You leave home, you leave church, you go out to the world, you get bounced down by them. You're like, where am I going? You go back home. At least you're going to go back home to your family so you can figure out where you go lay your head again. And now your family's been abducted. You're not having a good series of days. Some things are going on. But what's interesting here is that now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Now I think David had reached he's reached the valley. He left home. He got kicked out by the Philistines. Now his family's been abducted. And now his boys that came with him want to kill him because they say, you're the reason why we out here in this mess. That's what happened. But what's interesting is that, and this is kind of the crux of my message, because he was saying they were just stoning him. He said, because the soul of the people were grieved, so they had to turn on him. They say, you the man. Every man and his son and daughters were grieving. But this is the crux. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. And that David began to think, wait a minute. David was a Christian. He knew better. But David thought about Psalms 55:22. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He thought about Psalms 50:15. Call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. He thought about him in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And then he thought about 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. David had an aha moment. He had reached a point where all of his resources were exhausted. He had reached a point where all of his senses were saturated. He had nowhere to turn but God. But God. Many times we get in that situation where we have nowhere to turn, but we do have somewhere to turn. I'm not done yet. The spirit of prophecy says that we all desire immediate and direct answers to our prayers and are tempted to become discouraged when the answers is delayed or comes in an unlooked for form. But God is too wise and good to answer our prayers always at just the right time and in just the manner we desire. He will do more and better for us to accomplish all of our wishes. And because we can trust his wisdom and love, we should not ask him to concede to our will, but should ask to enter into and accomplish his purpose. God is not an ATM. He don't go up and then some people, I've been there too, where you go up to the ATM machine, you put your card in, put in $20, it comes back. You try to be embarrassed, you're like, okay, I'm just checking my balance. Go on about your business. All right. Spirit prophecy also says that the plans of God are always the best, although we may not always discern them. Perfection of Christian character can be obtained only through the labor, conflict, and self-denial. We do not always count upon this and do not consider the painful and often protracted process of purifying necessary for us in order that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. God frequently answers our prayers in a way that we least expect. He brings us into positions which are the most trying to reveal what is in our hearts. To further the development of Christians, grace will place us in circumstances which will demand increased exertion on our parts to keep our faith in lively exercise. See, people, we're going to deal with issues. We live here. That's a given. God don't care about your issues because he allowed them. God is worried about your character. How are you dealing with this thing? Because not only does it affect you, it affects other people. See, other people are watching how you deal with these situations. And you could be the only Christ anybody will see. You don't know who's looking at you. God is worried about, he's trying to strengthen our character. So David decides, okay, I'm going to consult the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troops? Shall I overtake them? So we see that David forgot, he didn't forget his training. He didn't forget what the Lord had done for him in the past. He sought the one who could change his situation. Now, is another obligation lesson. When you ask the Lord a question, he's going to give you an answer. But you better be ready for it. But here, God gives you an answer. He basically told him, and he answered him, pursue, you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now this verse, the latter part of this verse is what blew me away. Because what we fail to understand is, when God speaks, stuff happens. When God speaks, the galaxies came into being. When God speaks, atoms were formed and subatomic particles were wrapped around that thing. When God speaks, life itself is generated. When God speaks, things happen. You can be rest assured that if God says you do that, it's going to happen. It's so interesting. When God went to, when Jesus actually went to raise Lazarus, he had to be specific. Lazarus, you come forth. If he wasn't specific, all them graves around there be starting to rumble, which is a scary proposition for any funeral home director, because if God speaks, all of his tenants will get up and walk right out the door. That shows you the power of God. When God speaks, you better be careful, because it's going to happen. And we have to have the faith to walk in that and believe that this is what the Lord says, this is what I'm going to do. So God told him, go, get your stuff. So David went, and he and his 600 men who were with him and came to this brook Besor, where they stayed, who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men for 200 stayed behind and were weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Now, we must be careful here. Because when God sometimes tells us to move, and when God sometimes gives us an answer, sometimes it's going to require that we're going to have to give up some stuff. Sometimes we're going to have to give up some folk. It might be certain situations we're going to have to let go. When God says you move, you know it's an assurance. It's going to happen. But sometimes you're going to have to cut some stuff loose. Now, what's interesting also in verse 11 is that when God has when he gives you a revelation in your life and he tells you to move and do what you desire for him to do, he always gives you a guidepost or a clue as to what direction you should go. See, you have to understand, David didn't know who did this. He had no idea who were responsible for abducting his family. He had no clue, but he stepped out in faith because God told him, get your stuff. So he said, okay, I'm going to go, but I have nowhere I'm going, but I'm going to go. How many times have we seen that? Abraham, he told him, you go. I got a place prepared for you. You go. We have to step out in faith if we want that blessing. Now, is it a coincidence here? It says, then they found an Egyptian in the field, and he brought him to David, and he gave him bread and ate, and they let him drink water. Now, do you think it was by chance this Egyptian was out there? You think God provides provisions. It says, then David says to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? And he says, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of Amalekite. My master left me behind because 3 days ago I got sick. See, he's basically trying to say, look, yeah, I was with them, but I didn't do it. I didn't burn nothing. I didn't take nobody away. I was just driving. I drove the getaway car. That's it. I was not responsible for nothing. That's what he was telling him. He told him everything. We made an invasion to the southern area of the Chishulites and to the territory which belongs to Judah and in the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Zetlag with fire. So he told him everything. Then David said to him, can you take me down to the troops? Now this Egyptian is like, look, my master done left me out here. Now I'm surrounded by these folk. Let me tell you something. Not only will I tell you, I'll take you. Look. I'm a snitch. You keep me protected. I'll be like a canary. I'll tell you everything you want to know. I'll tell you what time they wake up. I'll tell you what they like for breakfast. I'll tell you anything. Look, just don't kill me and don't turn me over to them. And David agreed. Okay, fine. Now we see that David attacked from the twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which was taken from them. David recovered all. Then David looked at the flocks and herds. They had driven before those other livestock, and he says, "It's David's spoil." So God told him what was going to happen. He basically said, go get your stuff. God said it, so it was going to happen. All he had to do was do it. He did it. This shows you how we can relate when it comes to our own personal situations. When God tells us to do something, we don't have to sit there and try to, this is not a hypothesis. This may happen. No. When God tells you to move, he's already provided an avenue for you to accomplish whatever objective he's identified to you. God opens doors. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make way of escape, that you may also be able to bear it. We must remember that as we have this Christian walk, it's not really about the issues we deal with, because God don't care about all that. Because, be honest with you, all this stuff is going to go away soon anyway. He ain't cared about what you're dealing with. All he wants to know is, can I fix your character and align it with citizenship fit for my kingdom? That's all he's worried about. Life is a walk to remember. Our tomorrows are determined by the steps we take each day. Every sunset gives us one day less to live, but every sunrise gives us one more day to hope. So savor every step and live it well, because God walks with us every step of the way. We're not in this thing together, but we must remember, you cannot have a testimony without a test. God makes a way out of no way. Many times people will say, well, the Lord never blessed me. Well, you know, you ain't lived long enough yet. You just haven't lived. You know, I hear young people like, I've never dealt with all the kind. Hey, you live long enough, young man, young lady. I can promise you, something's going to happen. There's some people, God will make a way out of no. We do not bring God down to us. We bring him up, you know, we bring us up to him. See, the thing was, what God does is God is trying to, again, shape our character, because that's all we're taking out of here. That's it. We sometimes, the devil has a tendency to make us focus on the process. See, all this is happening to you because you wicked and you my child. And he's accusing us constantly. That's why he says he's our chief accuser. But God says, no, I'm trying to work on your character. This is all about character development. I don't care about this stuff. I could take it away just like that. But ain't about that. I'm working on your character. Thought of reflection. In conclusion, in happy times, we praise him. In difficult times, we seek him. In quiet moments, we trust him. But in every moment, we thank him. Remember Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. All things with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. We're already thanking him for the blessing that he's already given us. And we need to understand that. We are so apprehensive, not understanding who God is. Not understanding that this is the same God that originated life itself. When he says something to you, that's it. It's going to happen. You could take that to the bank. So as I conclude, I just want 3 points of reflection. One is that when we reach our max point and we feel that there's nowhere else to turn, we feel that we have just, that we are as low as we can go, we're as beat down as we can get beat down, that the devil has his thumb on our, or his foot on our neck, we can always pray for God's guidance and direction. He's given us that assurance, because we know that if we pray to him, he's going to see us through. God will provide a way through his divine providence. We wait, we listen, we move. When God shows us the direction we should go, you know, as I always used to joke around, you know, God will say, I'm going to give you a new job. But yeah, so I say, okay, God's going to give me a job. I jump into bed and wait for my phone to ring. It don't work like that. We have to go out and seek. We have to move forward so we know that we're in aligned with his divine providence, and he will offer his provisions for us. He will make a way out of no way. God has a way. He enjoys being the underdog. He enjoys stripping us to nothing so we can see how powerful and who he is. He enjoys sometimes scaling things back. How many times have you seen in the Bible where he scaled back so that he can show his strength and his majesty? That's how my God is. And that's why I encourage anyone who's dealing with issues. Don't let the issues consume you. The issues are just a test for character development. It's like for those who go in the military. My brother used to tell me all the time when in basic training. Basic training wasn't about who could run the fastest or strongest. That was only part of it. Majority of basic training is those who has the ability, the mental capability of following instructions. It's all about mental development. And that's what this walk is. The devil has us, he has us bamboozled. He gets us caught up in the stuff that we have to deal with. Don't worry about the stuff. You worry about, am my life, is my life in alignment with your will? Before I offer a closing prayer, I'd like to offer a special appeal for anyone who is dealing with issues. And sometimes you forget that God is the one who allowed these things in my life. And we sometimes struggle with what's going on and did I bring this upon myself and what can I do to correct this thing? But understand that God loves you so much that he's allowing you to go through these things. And it was, as we were talking about in the Sabbath school class, if life was a picnic, then you in trouble. Because God has given up on you. And we know that my God doesn't give up on us. So we're going to be dealing with stuff. If it's your prayer, and if you're dealing with anything and you want to just lay it to the altar, I encourage you to come forward. And I'm going to offer a special prayer for all those, you know, regardless what the situation. There's three situations. You're either about to go into something, you just came out of something, or you're dealing with the something as we speak. I encourage you to come forward and I offer a special prayer. This is a time where you could petition your prayers to the Lord. Ask him for your guidance. Ask him for direction. He will do it. If we believe in him, he will do it. I encourage you, because life is going to hit us like a Mack truck. It's going to hit us. But we have to be prepared for that. And we can't allow the circumstances to define what's going on. It's all about character development. God wants us up there. He wants us with him forever. Bow your heads. Father in heaven, you see those who have come forward. They have many special needs that you need intervention for. And we pray that we lay all of our cares at your feet, because you're going to give us the victory over whatever we're dealing with, because we realize it's not about the stuff. It is not about the circumstances. It's not about the adversity. All these things were designed by you to strengthen our character and have us focus ourselves on you. So, Lord, we just pray that you lift us up this day, that you will bless us, that this will be an opportunity for us to leave out of here changed, because now we are prepared to deal with what life has to throw our way. Lift us up this day, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we go throughout this Sabbath day, to always focus on your goodness and your mercies. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen. You may return your seats. Thank you.
If you'd like to know more information about the Ypsilanti Seventh-day Adventist Church, you can reach us on the internet at ypsisda.net. That's ypsisda.net. By email at info@ypsisda.net or by phone 734-482-3373. That's 734-482-3373. We'd love to hear from you. This is the Ypsisda Media Network.